Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words again from 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Some of you, many of you, had the opportunity to join me in being present at the service at which I was installed here at Hope back a few months ago at the beginning of June. And if you were here, you might have remembered the sermon that Pastor Shoup from St. Paul Bondiwell shared with us that day. He used an object lesson. He brought in about 100 feet worth of rope. Do you remember that? He had the kids kind of march around the sanctuary with it so that we could see the full length of that rope, about 1,200 inches of rope. And on the far end of it, about 1 inch, was covered in tape. He said, this inch of tape covering the rope represents our life here in this present creation. Our birth, our growing years, our job, our retirement, all the way to our death. You know, maybe we are blessed with 100 years of life, which seems like a long time. He says, it's like this inch. And of course, the point was this. Our destination is eternity. Our destination is to be with Christ, to live and reign with Him forever. And yet so much of our time and attention and energy is focused on that 1 inch of rope. When our Savior Jesus would have us look toward the entirety of our life in Him. So often I believe that we focus on that 1 inch of rope because our hope in Christ is not as vivid as it should be. As we consider that word hope today, the way that the Bible uses the word hope is often different than the way we usually use the word hope. We might say, I hope that it's sunny today. And by that we mean it might or might not be. We look for a good outcome, but it's outside of our control and it depends on circumstances which can change. That's not the way that the Bible uses the word hope. When you hear the word hope in the Bible, it's not sort of wishful thinking. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee of what the future holds in store for us. We might not be able to see it now, but it's a guarantee. Why? Because it depends on God. And it depends on His promise to you and to me. And if God's going to make a promise, we know that He is faithful and true to keep His promises, so we can say with confidence, this is going to happen. Our hope is sure. And it's forward-looking. The sad reality, I believe, is that many Christians, perhaps even some of us in the room today, don't have a clear understanding of what our hope in Christ actually is. We have this idea that it includes being with Him and being in heaven, whatever that might be. And that's a good start, but we don't have the full description of what the Scriptures give us concerning our hope. And as a result, it can sometimes be kind of bland, the idea of what our hope in Christ actually is. We would say to ourselves, surely it's better than suffering in this life. And it's certainly better, of course, than being condemned to eternal punishment. But beyond that, I'm not sure. And we look at some of the really good moments of this life, some of the vivid, wonderful moments of being with our loved ones and enjoying some of the pleasures that God gives us in this life, and we wonder if we're going to miss out when we die and pass from this life into the life of the world to come. Yes, hope is better than no hope, but how much do we actually have to look forward to? Is our life in Christ going to be to dwell as a floaty, non-physical being in a disembodied creation, not really doing anything else except for singing? Well, for those of us who enjoy singing, I guess that sounds good. But for the rest of us, it sounds a little bland? Is this all that God has in store for us as His people? Is this ultimately our hope? The good news is that the Scriptures say there's much more in store. Much more in store for God's people. Our hope in Christ is better than we could ever imagine, and yet He gives us these little glimpses so that we might imagine, and that our hearts might be encouraged and filled with joy as we anticipate that day of our resurrection, that day of Jesus' return. So today I'd like to share with you several scriptures that share the hope that is ours in Christ. As we begin, I want to start by saying the Scriptures talk about hope not simply in terms of what is to come, but the Scriptures talk about hope in terms of a person. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's see if this is going to work. All right, Luke, I'm depending on you. There you go. Thank you very much. From 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is what Paul writes. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. So Paul says not only that hope is this destination that we are heading toward, but our hope is a person, Jesus Christ, our Savior. St. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Biblical hope, the hope that God intends for us, is inseparably bound to Jesus Christ. In Him, God makes and keeps all of His promises concerning what the future holds. Moreover, Jesus becomes the prototype of what the future has for us. God raises Him physically, bodily, from the tomb on Easter Sunday and brings Him forth. 40 days later, He ascends to the right hand of the Father, where He lives and reigns to all eternity, and where He prepares a place for us, and is coming back to find us and bring us to be where He is. What happens to Jesus happens to you. Will you be raised physically, bodily from the tomb? The answer is absolutely yes. It's a guarantee. Why? Because the resurrection has already begun in Jesus. He's the firstborn from the dead, the guarantee of what's in store for you and for me who are bound to Him by baptism and faith. Hope and Jesus are inseparably bound together. So what does that mean for us? What does the death and resurrection of Jesus mean for us? How can we look to that event, look to that one person, our Savior, and gain hope? When so often we live in a life that's dominated by darkness, sorrow, and despair. Well, presently it means that we have an almighty living King who reigns at the right hand of the Father, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, as He has said to us in Matthew 28. Moreover, that King is not absent, He's not impotent, He is with us always, the very end of the age. In this present day and age, we have a living confidence that we are His and He is with us. And moreover, the future holds great things in store. First of all, the Scriptures say that we will be with Christ forever. That's the first and greatest component of our hope, is that we will be with Christ. I'd like to share these words with you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Paul says, we will be with Christ forever. And moreover, Jesus himself says the very same thing in John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. He says to his disciples and to you and to me, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Have you been baptized into Christ? Do you believe in him? Then put your hope in this, that you will be with Jesus forever. This is the greatest and first of all the realities that are in store for us. But the scriptures say that this is not all. This is not the only component of our hope. There's more in store. Not only will we be with Jesus forever, we will be like Jesus forever. In other words, just as Jesus was raised from the dead and came out from the tomb with a glorified, indestructible body and life, so we will be raised to that same sort of indestructible life, bodily, to be with him forever. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning the resurrection. He says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. In other words, we're going to die. We understand that our bodies are wearing out. They decay, they die, and ultimately they'll be laid into the ground or cremated or whatever the case may be in death. It's sown perishable. But what is raised is imperishable. The body that Jesus received when he came forth from the tomb on Easter Sunday is unable to get sick. It's unable to die. It's unable to feel and experience pain. It is indestructible. So will it be with you on the day that you are raised, on the day that our Savior Jesus returns. It's sown in dishonor. Why? Because we're sinners. We dishonor God. Death is not a pretty thing. It is the natural result of sin. It's what happens when sin has its way in our lives. Sin gives birth to death. We are sown in dishonor. But that body will be raised in glory. The sinful nature will be taken away from you. Everything that causes sin, all who do evil, it will be taken away from you. Your body will be raised with the inability to sin, which leads into our next piece as well. It is sown in weakness, a weakness of will. It is raised in power. In other words, we know we live this life wanting to do what is right and just and pleasing in the sight of God for the good of our neighbor, and yet we realize that we don't do it. So often we do what we don't want to do, as Paul says in Romans 7. That won't be the case on your resurrection day. You will be raised in power. And part of that power is an iron will set toward the glory of God and the good of your neighbor. You will not have to struggle internally ever again. You will be exactly as God intends you to be. You will have power as you love your neighbor and as you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's one of the realities I'm looking forward to most of all. The struggle will be over. Finally, Paul says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Luke, can we go back to the previous slide just for a second there? Thank you. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. In other words, the body that we have now is a body that's empowered and enlivened by our sinful nature so often. Not on that day. In baptism, this reality has begun. You've been given a new gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and empowers your life in Christ. On that day, when you are raised, the Holy Spirit will continue to dwell in you, and your life, now and forever, will be a spirit-empowered existence in a spiritual body. Don't hear non-physical. It's going to be a physical body, but it is a spirit-empowered physical body that is going to be set to the glory of God and for the good of others. It's a beautiful reality. We're not only going to be with Jesus forever, we're going to be like Jesus forever. But the story doesn't even end there. It's not just that we will be with Jesus and like Jesus forever. Moreover, the resurrection applies to the entire created order. On that day when we are raised from the dead, guess what? The rest of the creation gets its makeover as well. From Romans chapter 8, this is what Paul says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, to the curse that was placed upon it, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is going to come and create a new heavens and a new earth, and things like earthquakes and tornadoes and the death of animals and plants and diseases and sickness in our world will be done away with forever. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to live in a world in which things just worked and flourished? We're going to find out, because that's what's in store for us on the day that Jesus returns. St. Peter says so as well in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. He says, but according to his, God's promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And then finally, these words from St. John in Revelation chapter 21. He says in his vision, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. So what are some of the things that the Bible says will be included in the new creation in this passage and elsewhere in the scriptures? Well, at least one great city, the New Jerusalem, nations, kings, the tree of life, animals who will not harm nor destroy each other, wherever they are found, as the prophet Isaiah says, streets, homes, lots of people, and of course, God himself. What's not going to be there? No more crying or pain, no more sin, no more death, no more curse on the creation, no more tree of the knowledge of good and evil, only the tree of life, and with it, no other cause of temptation. And no enemy, whoever assault us or threaten God's reign. As people, we desperately need hope. Hope makes life worth living. Hope gives us the courage and the energy to face the challenges of life that we face. And when our hope is Jesus, we know that we can count on it. He lives and reigns over all things. We will be with him forever. We will be like him forever. And we will live and reign with him in a new creation, freed from the curse, freed from sin, death, temptation, sickness, and any form of sadness. This is really good news. Friends and members of Hope Lutheran Church, I pray that God will strengthen and inspire your lives through the living hope that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our hope. Amen.